This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Max Niggle from Living Positive Victoria. Max has worked for that organisation and dedicated himself to that organisation for many, many years. He also heads up the Speakers Bureau, and he's passionate about the organisation. He's passionate about improving the life of positive people. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Macca, and welcome to everybody that's sitting in this room today. It's packed.
It's a few packed. Yeah, it's a party in here today.
Getting ready for the rally.
Absolutely. Yes.
I've got my T-shirt on. Yes.
I hope you noticed my corsage. Your
I did see your corsage.
To be husband made last night.
Are you guys going to get illegally married today?
Well, he wants to, but I was saying I don't do mass things.
That's not what I've heard.
I prefer something more intimate.
Okay.
Look, before we actually talk about, you know, your business, what's your view on marriage equality?
I've come a long way from an absolute non-believer in the institution because it was effectively hijacked by the church. However, I think it is the last bastion. We have to commend Howard for removing every piece of discrimination against us at a federal level in the first year of his government. And however, he was too scared to go beyond that.
And he had help. You know, in changing the Marriage Act. Don't forget Nicola Roxon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mark Latham.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, we can't blame him because he's a nutter, but we can actually, Nicola Roxon, she has a brain, you know, that she uses quite a bit. How she ever agreed to this?
You know, with that question, though, I actually went to an engagement party recently, and up until this engagement party, I was like, yeah, we should deserve. We deserve the right to make our own decisions on this. But I watched two women get up, and they'd both been married to men previously, divorced, come out later in life, had kids, and they got up and they said at their engagement party, we want to get married because we want to be able to stand in front of our family, our friends and our children and let them see how committed we are, because that's the institution that as a society we recognise. And I thought, that is just right.
Yeah, it's nice.
Do you know what I mean? It's not because, you know, of any other reason apart from that's the institution we all know and respect. So we deserve the ability to participate.
We respect it so much that half the people that get married end up divorced.
I know, right? We didn't need a survey or plebiscite for that.
I'd back that up in that I had a conversation with my mum well over 10 years ago one time in the car, and she said, would you like to get married to your partner? And I said, well, actually, I don't believe in it, but what I want is a legally recognised ceremony.
Yes. Yep.
I don't care about the word marriage.
Yep.
Mm. Call it a civil union. Call it a civil partnership. Let's take the European model where the church is out of the role of marriage. The church has never had the ultimate sanctity of owning the word marriage. Mm. It is a state instrumentality, and
like,
that's where I come from.
It's like the word hamburger. It's been stolen. My mother had a particular view. She said many, many years ago that people should actually be required to get divorced every 10 years to decide whether or not they wanted to stay married.
That's actually easy.
We love the messages, don't we?
Oh, they're fantastic. And look, I've just got one here that's really rung my bells.
Hang on, where's my bell?
There is no campaign that is going to focus on multicultural communities who probably will vote no. The listener says, this is where we also need to focus, because I know as a fact that my Greek parents have already been bombarded with the no campaign.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably right, actually. I've seen many church organisations who tend to confuse the there's separation between the culture and the religion as a way of actually trying to get their messages through.
You know, an interesting statistic I was reading on the ABS website, though, recently, in a, engaged in a debate telling people they should vote or to participate in the survey, is that more than 50% of people who are Australian citizens but born overseas do not subscribe to any religion.
Yeah.
So that's actually that's a significant change from that cultural history that we have in this country.
If you actually look at the number of people in the census that said they were regular churchgoers.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Now, if you then added up the LGBTI community, National Party voters and most of the Greens, it's about the same number. So it's about 20% of Australians are regular churchgoers.
Mm.
Assume that we're 10%, 9%.
Oh, we've all got family and friends.
Yeah. So it's actually, it is a minority. But again, this is where those views, those strong views that oppose this, it's just the same as having to change people's minds as we have changed people's minds over the years about HIV, isn't it, Max?
What a segue.
You've got to educate and let people understand what this is about, you know, not go off on a tangent, you know, as they have on this. And Peter was right, yes, religious freedom is part of it, but hang on, that's not the question.
Mm.
It's not the question.
And I'd concur is that we have to focus on what the issue is.
Yeah.
I'm here to talk about living with HIV and the stigma attached to HIV.
Yes.
I'm here to talk about the responsibility for everybody, that this is almost a human rights issue in accessing treatment around the world. It is not the case in many, many countries that people have access to treatment, care and support like we do here. So we're in a superb position to advocate for the rights of others, but we also have to be careful about how we frame that discussion. And the same would apply to the equal marriage. I'd also like to make the point that the discussion around equal marriage, we've got to use the word equal.
Yes.
We can't forget our trans members and our intersex members. This discussion is being deliberately sidetracked by many people talking about gays and lesbians. Let's not forget the fact that there are more people.
I agree with that. And also, we do not want a different class of marriage. We don't want a same-sex marriage or a gay marriage class.
Marriage.
We want marriage.
And we want it to be equal in the way that that if they add in discriminatory clauses that are actually contravened by the Equal Opportunity and Discrimination Acts, how the hell are they going to even say that we're equal when, in fact, they're making us second-class citizens again? So they're giving on one aspect and taking away on another.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, what I'm here to talk about is...
That's right.
And Max, we have to say, we've actually eaten into a lot of your time, so you might have to stick to the headlines.
Well, I might, but look, I guess there's just a few things I'd like to cover, and one is, you know, Macca had asked me to talk about PrEP, and the PBAC decision, but the PBAC being the... government body that is independent of the government in making a decision around the accessibility of PrEP for all on the PBS system. That unfortunately has been deferred. It has been deferred because of the economics associated it and to the two companies that put in the submissions. One of the companies was a very high price. One was less, but they're still playing a game because they know they've got the government by the proverbials.
Mm.
So PBAC's made a very good decision to say we need greater information and we're asking that from the Kirby around high risk, medium risk and low risk groups and how we actually look at the full budgets around this.
And I think the process, the reality is the process does work pretty well.
It does.
And we need to have some faith in it. Now, if they come down with a decision we don't like, then you attack it on the basis of the you then try and counter that on the basis of the facts.
Yeah.
And the reality is, it is for this organisation, for that organisation, it's not just a decision about whether people should have it; it's an economic decision.
Yeah, and it does come down to this, and we can then
move on to
what AFAO recently put out a week ago, their blueprint to end HIV.
Mm.
They reckon around $32.5 million is all it will take in the next 5 years to do it if the government would consider their 15-step plan. Now, that doesn't actually include the funding of PrEP. However, that's a separate matter, and we go back to keeping focused on the issue.
Yeah.
So the issue is PBAC will make the decision. It backs the efficacy of Truvada. It doesn't matter whether it's generic or whether it's made by the company that had the original patent. It will happen, and we just have to be patient and allow an independent tribunal to make that decision with the assurances from the health minister that this will actually happen upon that recommendation.
And I think that's important.
Yeah.
The process is independent of government. Nothing ever operates in a vacuum, but at the end of the day, they're making a decision not just on the efficacy of the drug and whether it's needed, but they have to take account of the economics.
Yeah.
That's, whether we like it or not, that's the reality.
Yeah. And as Edwina Wright from the Alfred said, the simple reality is this is a minor setback.
Mm.
So let's continue having this honest, logical discussion. And let's not get upset and start screaming because we've come so far in the epidemic. We know what the last building blocks are to end HIV, and we will do it.
The tram's only got another stop to travel. Let's not push it off the tracks.
Yep. Great way to sum that up.
There you go.
So what else did you ask me to talk about? You asked me to talk about stopping stigma, but look, you know, we don't have a lot of time.
I could talk about that for another hour
if you really want
to. Let's save that for another time. But I wanted to ask you about changes in your organisation.
Yeah. Oh, God, I knew you'd do that, so I'm actually prepared. Yeah.
Well,
thanks,
actually,
Randy.
I actually made a call to the change, but unfortunately we didn't end up speaking in time to actually do something about it. So tell us, what are the big changes?
So Brent Allen, our CEO of 5.5 years, has announced his resignation.
Are you going to go for the job, Max?
No, I've stepped up to that role in the last... Macca would probably remember. Yep. I think I was in there for 3 months at one point and 6 months for another point, and I wouldn't do it again at my age.
Right, okay, well, there we go.
I think there's many other candidates out there, but we're jumping the gun here because the board will be making quite a deliberate process around this.
Yep.
It'll be around looking at the whole structure of the organisation, how the various roles interact, and looking at the job descriptions and then going into a major recruitment campaign. So we're looking at quite some time.
So looking at your whole org structure, effectively?
No, not a whole of org restructure. No, it's merely looking at the roles and what people play and how we can actually even increase the capacity of our team because one of the best legacies Brent left us was a highly capable group of people, younger and older, who just step up each and every time.
An exceptional group of people. Exceptional.
Thank you. Brent, I have to say, Brent has done an amazing job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've worked with Brent on a number of projects over the last few years, and I have nothing more than absolute regard and respect for him. I think he's done a fantastic job.
Contemporary, it's continual, and it's compassionate.
Yeah, it's all of that.
Love it.
And his absolute dedication, probably to his detriment at some times, but his passion for this sector, he's not going away from the sector full stop. He's still involved in a range of state, federal and international orgs.
Great.
And he will contribute massively, as always, as an outstanding advocate for people living with
HIV.
Now,
we're going to steal a little bit of our end chat time. Paul's going to let us go. He's going to tell us when we absolutely have to deathly finish. So we're going to use some of our formal chat time. So keep going, Max.
Right.
We're going to cut you off now.
So have I given you enough of a framework around what's happening with the org?
It's sad. I know Brent won't have made this decision lightly. It's also, for the organisation, it's a good opportunity to have a look at where they are, where they want to be, where they've been. Whoever fills those shoes is going to need size 12.
Yeah, they sure will.
They're big shoes.
However, Susie
Malhotra is acting in the role at the moment.
Susie, once again, has stepped up. You know, every time Brent has been on leave or away from the office, Susie's there as our stalwart. And I think that's just a hallmark of Brent's ability to transfer knowledge and wisdom. And Susie would acknowledge that she's had amazing opportunities.
Correct.
She's an extraordinary leader in her own right. And
a gorgeous human being.
Yeah, and she's got... probably some of the best understanding around health promotion that you could possibly ask for in Australia. So, look, the organisation is really, really well placed to move forward. Brent was always about being a change manager.
Yep.
And you know that change managers are normally there for a few years. So I reckon 5.5 years is pretty amazing.
Good.
And he's always said to me, Max, you're autonomous in your role. There has always been a lot of trust between us. And I guess it's always about I'll make you look good, I'll make the board look good, and I'll make the agency look good because it's not about me. Mm. It's about the program.
Mm.
And that's the ethos that really carries through for the whole agency. It's not about the egos. Mm. It's all about the work that we do on behalf of our members.
Yep. What a wonderful legacy to leave behind.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think he'll be missed. He'll be missed by many quarters and many people across the sectors that he's worked in. But he's left, I think, the organisation in a great place.
Yeah. So, like, it's not a eulogy. It's really an acknowledgement of an amazing contribution. And if people actually would like to read Brent's personal statement, not just our media release, just hop onto our website, livingpositivevictoria.org.au. It's a very personal reflection upon the reasons why he's made this decision.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing to actually, declare that so publicly in that way. Mm. It's lovely.
That's what he does. We are going to run out of time, Max. Now, one listener here has said, and I'll actually add to this, we could implement a plan to end HIV with the money left over. So if it's $32.5 million ACON in New South Wales, believe.
No, this is a FAO, so this is a national plan.
So national 30.
Excluding the cost of the drugs.
Excluding the cost of PrEP.
What's the cost of PrEP?
We don't know yet until we have the PBAC decision. Yeah. But if you look at what people are paying for it, if they were paying for it without the PBS subsidy, you're looking at $1,000 a month for one person.
So $32 million, what a FAO, say. $122 million for a postal survey that's non-binding, not compulsory, shambolic. It's a crock of shit, basically.
I've described it in a more derogatory and robust terms.
Oh, look. I'm sorry.
And I was in my local cafe last week, and my cafe owner, who's a real sort of second generation Italian, almost misogynistic in a way, but he always asks these very sort of inquisitive questions about my lifestyle.
Ah,
oh yes.
But he's supporting marriage equality, and he will be voting yes.
Hearts of mine.
We love him.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.